We shall look at Exodus 11 in a very summary way, as my purpose tonight is to look generally at what happened to Pharaoh and to the land of Egypt before the last plague. What we have here really in this chapter is the last warning for Egypt. I take for granted that everybody here knows and remembers at least generally what are all the 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt. I mean, even for people in this world who do not have a good knowledge of the Bible, I'm sure most have heard in some way or another of the plagues on Egypt. Perhaps many people believe that this is just a fancy story. But it is actually given to us in the Word of God as history, as something that has happened indeed. So, I'm not going over the 10 plagues, obviously, but this is the point where Egypt is virtually destroyed. It's a nation on its knees. And all because its leader was hardened before God. He rebelled against him. So, with this last plague that will be actually described in chapter 12, and which is pointing for us, as we have remembered this morning, to the way of salvation and to the Messiah who was slain as the Lamb of God. With this last plague, Pharaoh and Egypt and everyone receives indeed a warning, a solemn warning. It is the last one. And as we have read at the end of chapter 10, Moses truly says to Pharaoh, "You will see my face no more." What I'd like to do with God's help is give you 5 points where we are reminded what God is actually reminding to Israel, to Egypt, to us all, who he is, what he has declared with all these plagues, and with the last one especially. That is what God is saying today to our world, to everyone, who he is. He is showing his mighty works, and this has been repeated again and again. What he points at is to his own glory, and that men and women may come to know who he is and how they can be saved. So here's for us tonight 5 things that reminds us who the Lord is. And first of all, the Lord is all-powerful. The Lord is, secondly, holy. The Lord is righteous. Fourthly, the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is all-powerful. Look at verse 9. The Lord said unto Moses, "Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." My wonders multiplied in this land. You may ask, if you read through these chapters in Exodus, you may ask yourself, why? How can it be that Pharaoh did not believe right at the first one? He saw the river of Egypt transformed into blood, and Moses declaring that that was God's mighty hand. But he had to go through the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth until the tenth plague. And all God did was to show his mighty works, to show all Egypt and the whole world that he is powerful, that he is the only God, he is the Almighty One. He is the one who created all things. And by the same power that created in six days, all that we see, he has the power to overturn all creation as well. God is commanding and sending and reversing all that he did in creation there in the land of Egypt, destroying everything and causing great suffering. God is demonstrating his power. And it is interesting to know, to go through each and every plague, because somehow in every plague God is addressing or pointing at many of the gods of Egypt. Egypt was a land full of idolatry. They had a god for many things, for many occasions and opportunities and things in life. And they were forming and making idols for themselves for various aspects of lives to help them with their fears, to help them in battle. Every aspect of Egypt life was idolatry. And Pharaoh himself was the top of it all. He was seen as the son of a god. And that's how he was worshipped. That's why God was so determined to step into his face and to declare to the whole world, I am the Lord, not Pharaoh. I am God, the all-powerful God. So that was Egypt culture. They did not know the true God. And there they had this tremendous opportunity with the Lord's people among them and his prophet Moses declaring the truth. God himself was destroying one by one through each and every plague the gods of Egypt. Interesting enough, we read of verse 7 that there shall be not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. We cannot be sure 100%, but we do know that they had a god whose name was Anubis, and this was a god of the Egyptians that was helping them in the process of mummification of the dead. It was their God who would lead them throughout death in the afterlife. And they pictured this God with it was represented by a dog. Was maybe this a reference to their own God? And that this God was indeed with no power at all. I am the Lord, God says to all Egypt. And so, today, we must ask ourselves, I have to ask you, my friend, who is your God? What do you trust? Do you have a God in your life which is not the only true, all-powerful God? Where do you run when you are in fear? when things are crumbling around you? Do you live perhaps believing that everything is happening by chance? We have sung in various of the Psalms tonight. He is the Lord of creation. He had the power to make all this with His word. He commanded, and the things was formed. Is there perhaps anyone who believes that this world has come out of chance? What do you think if you throw on the floor a glass and you see all the various pieces scattered on the floor? Would you believe or perhaps hope that in the process of time and by chance, all these bits and pieces would come back again into a complete glass? Well, this is basically what in this world men and women are told. They want to get God out of the picture and believe that this world has come out of chance. There was a big bang, and out of disorder, you just have to wait and wait and wait with patience. And perhaps after, and by chance, all this that you can see now has appeared. Can this possibly be? The God of Moses is declaring to the Egyptians and to the whole world, even today, that He is all-powerful. He has created this world, and He has in His hands the power of life and death. He is the giver of life. And He is the one that will give you the power to raise from the dead, as He has demonstrated His power over death with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is not only all-powerful, but the Lord is also holy. He's a holy God. You see, what has been repeated so many times is this. God is telling Pharaoh, "Let my people go." This was continually all over time and throughout the plagues, his request. That was the only explanation that Pharaoh was always getting. God says, we must go and worship Him. And His people and Israel is the one who is to worship this holy God. They are to have no other gods among them. And that's what is requested of them, that they may go and worship Him. This God is a holy God. He is not allowing any other gods. He is the only one, and He is the only one to be worshipped and served and revered. He is holy and separated from sin. In chapter 3, that's what is already said when Pharaoh is asked to let the people go. In verse 18 of chapter 3, the middle of the verse, "The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God." That's the explanation given by Moses to Pharaoh. We have been called by our God, and we are to worship Him. And we are to offer sacrifices. See the message that is already brought up here. This God is to be worshipped, and the only way to approach Him is to shed blood, is to offer sacrifices to appease His wrath over sin. Atonement for sin is needed. This is our God. He is holy. We are to worship Him. But there is more about this God that comes here. Verse 22 of chapter 4. These are Moses' words to Pharaoh again, verse 22, chapter 4. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. That's already given as a warning there. But the point is this. Let my firstborn serve me. Israel is my son, a child of a most holy God. They are, God is saying to Israel, to Egypt and to all world, my people are mine. I'm holy, but they are justified. I have been called them to myself. There is a sense of belonging to this God. Remember when Paul was away during the shipwreck, and his testimony to the men on that ship was with these words, the God whose I am and whom I serve. The Lord is a holy God, and He has a people for Himself. Again, we may mention chapter 5, that further explanation for them to be let go in the wilderness. These are the words of Moses, that they may hold a feast in the wilderness. That's explaining and the people having communion with their Lord, fellowship with God. The most holy God is a Father in heaven who dwells with His people, and He enjoys having them with Him. That is Christianity. There's nothing to do with agreeing with the mind or taking a side in one group of people. But true Christianity is belonging to a God, to the most holy God. The one who has purchased them for Himself as His people. He is the most holy God, and no one could have ever approached Him if it was not for the shedding of blood. I think it was Luther that said, Christianity, true religion, is a matter of pronouns. It is my God. It is my Savior. And unless you come to this relationship with the most holy God through Christ Jesus, there is no salvation at all. So here's the question for you as well. Who do you worship? Do you worship anything in this world? Perhaps your job, your money, somebody else? Or do you worship the Most Holy One? That's what God was bringing through Moses and to Egypt, and even today for us all. The Lord is all-powerful and the Lord is holy. But also, thirdly, the Lord is righteous. The Lord is righteous because the Lord deals righteously with sin and with sinners. And He's just and He does it properly. Look at Pharaoh and how wicked he was. What do we read in verse 5 and 6? All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt. Is this God unjust? If you read this on the surface, somebody may complain and say, what kind of God is this? He's a righteous God. See, Pharaoh kept Israel as slave for 400 years. He subdued them harshly and he treated them unjustly and oppressed them, not for 1 or 10 years, but for 400 long years. He pretended to be God, you see. He owned this nation, he thought. And here comes the Lord, who is the righteous one. And he doesn't leave the wicked one unpunished. Pharaoh reached his wickedness even to the point of genocide, killing all the children to be drowned in the river, ordaining by law that all the born in Israel should have been thrown into the river. That's how wicked Pharaoh became. Well, the Lord let him act for a while. But there has come a point where God says, that's enough. There's a point in which God has to say, now you must pay. And that's His decree. There will be a great cry in Egypt. But Pharaoh was warned. The Egyptians received warnings. Let me ask you, my friend, are you right with God? Or are you continuing in your sinful life without caring of your behavior, your thoughts, your offenses toward God? Is there perhaps at the back of your mind and conscience the thought that this God will never really do anything at all? Do you perhaps think that you can go along and continue with your own things, calling this freedom? I'm afraid, my friend, there will be a time when everything will be taken to account and you will be asked. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners and that we all deserve to die. We are all under the curse of God. Do not take advantage of God's patience and long-suffering. Be reconciled with God. Because you don't know actually when the Lord will say to you personally, that's enough. Just as he did with Pharaoh. The Lord is righteous. But let us say as well that the Lord is also merciful. It is interesting when we read in Psalm 136 these words. Psalm 136, this beautiful psalm that is repeating again and again that his mercy endures forever. But interestingly enough, you reach verse 10 in this Psalm 136, and we read these words, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. That is somehow shocking. How can God be merciful in slaying the firstborn? It's because there is judgment in this, but there is mercy too. See, with the Israelites, with this plague announced, they even received the way of escape. They were told how to be saved. And not only that, not only they were prepared for this, but they were also given all the riches of Egypt. Verses 2, every woman and every neighbor were asked jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And verse 10, verse 8, we read that these people in Egypt actually send them away. They encouraged them to go. They didn't stop them. They let them go in haste, giving them all their money and wealth and gold. That's part of the mercy of God towards Israel, with this terrible plague coming on all Egypt. But also there's another aspect to note, that with this plague and with this mighty deliverance out of Egypt, God was actually merciful in answering his people's prayers. What do we find in chapter 2 of Exodus is the description of their state and their experience there in Egypt as slaves. Verse 23 of chapter 2. The end of verse 23 in chapter 2. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. The Lord is merciful. He didn't close his eyes. He didn't shut his ears when his people were crying to him. Is there perhaps anyone here who has come to a similar point in his life? Have you come to realize how heavy it is, the sense of guilt and of sin in your own life? Do you fear the judgment of God to come? Do you realize you have no way of escape and that the burden of sin is heavy on you and Satan keeps you in bondage and your sin doesn't let you go? And you are not free, although you may smile to others, you may live a normal life, but deep inside your heart, you know you are in bondage. You cannot do what you would like to do, you're not saved. Well, remember that in this God there is mercy. The Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is merciful. He has greatly shown His mercy in giving up His Son as the Lamb of God. And it is to Him that you are to cry. If you are after salvation and freedom and forgiveness, there is mercy in Him. So the Lord is all-powerful, is holy, righteous, merciful. And lastly, let me say, He is sovereign. He is sovereign. That means He decides, He does what He wants, what He desires, according to the purpose of His will. No one can resist His will. God made a division. In each and every plague, you can see a clear division. And that's what He says. I'm sending this on the land of Egypt, but My people will be safe. Oh, they were not better than the Egyptians regarding sin. They were sinful. They were not righteous in themselves. But the Lord, because of His covenant and because of His promises, He is declaring this. He has chosen His people Israel to be His dear children. And He has chosen to do this in Christ and in Christ only. All those that will be His people, all those that can ever be saved, if you desire to be saved tonight, if you pray God to save you and forgive you of your sins, remember, there is no other way for you to be saved apart from Christ and for His finished work on the cross. And that's what you are to trust and believe that is complete. And God will accept you. God will make a division between the world and yourself only in Him. In His sovereignty, He has decided that this is the way of salvation, whether you like it or not. You may think, that's too easy, it's impossible. I'm sorry, that's the Word of God. That's God's plan, that it might be by grace and grace only. It is out of His great mercy that you can approach this holy God, bowing the knees of your will and pride at the feet of the cross and say, I believe this. Lord, I trust what You have done. And from now on, I will call upon Your name so that I can be saved and be taken away of the land of Egypt, away from slavery and bondage, on the journey toward the promised land. May this be true of many and many more in this place. Amen. Let us pray.